we are back for the second hour of the show, and in this hour, I am introducing two guests who are going to discuss the topic of EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. Now, those of you who've been listening to this show for a while will know that I'm quite interested in EVP, and always looking for new examples. I've played you some of my own. Anyway, my two guests are David Haney and Jim Wirick. Now, Jim is a retired pharmacist. He spent most of his career at the Weinberg Cancer Center at Johns Hopkins University. He is the father-in-law of my other guest, and they've been doing this together since his daughter and them got engaged in 2001. And David Haney has many jobs. He's hoping to interview soon with the Franklin County PA Correctional Officers, and he was Jim's pharmacy tech for 3 years. He's an 8-year military veteran, and served 3 years of active duty from 93 to 96. So there we go. David and Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us on.
Welcome, David.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, Jeff Rentz recommended you very highly, so I knew I had to get you on.
Yeah, we had lots of good times talking with Jeff. We were introduced to him through the people who got us involved at the very beginning, which was Dr. Dave Oster and his wife Sharon Gill.
Yes, I used to be regular guests on my show when I had my show back in the early 90s. Sadly missed, both of them. Yeah.
Yes, they were, and they are
missed. I had the pleasure, in 2000, Dave organized a ghost cruise where we left out of Miami and went down the Caribbean, and we were actually doing EVP work on some of the Caribbean islands. And I remember in Belize, we were on some of the Mayan ruins. We were actually at the Sun Temple of one of the cities they were excavating, and we did some EVP sessions up there, and the EVPs we got were in Mayan. So we didn't understand them, but Dave got them and had them translated by people who could, you know, deal with that language. So that was sort of interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. Indeed. All right, look, for those who are new to the topic and new to my show, why don't you explain to people what EVP is?
EVP stands for Electronic Voice Phenomenon, and what that basically is the theory in the paranormal field that spirits use energy to manipulate magnetic fields in the earth and in separate locations, some stronger than others. And by manipulating that field, they use it to speak to us. And most of the time, very rarely do you ever actually hear it with a naked ear. It has happened, but it's very rare. Most of the time, you hear nothing. And when you review your audio recordings later, you hear a voice that is not of anyone in your investigational crew or anything like that. And that's what we found is that the human voice ranges in a certain range as far as megahertz are. They can't go below or above a certain range. So when we pull our files from our audio recordings and process them on the computer through the system that we use, it tells you the decibel and hertz level of every sound. And if we find one that's above or below that normal human range, that's when we take extra special care to make sure we lock that up and try and filter out all the background noise and anything like that so we can understand exactly what the spirit is trying to say.
Right. Now, I used to believe this was a phenomenon with magnetic tape recorders, but it's also working with digital recorders, too, is it not?
Absolutely. We pretty much started with a digital recorder that we bought at Radio Shack the day of our very first ever paranormal conference in Gettysburg. You know, we went there. We didn't know what we were walking into, if it was going to be like a Comic-Con or something like that, but you know, we met lots of interesting people, all ranges of life as far as job and social status. We met judges, police officers, again, doctors, pharmacists like Jim. And then, like I said, we met Dave and Sharon, who had organized this ghost conference. And we were really intrigued by it. So during the afternoon lunch break, we rode down to the Radio Shack and bought us a recorder and went out. And that day on the battlefield, Jim got his first EVP. Irony of that being that Jim loves watching horse racing. He is an avid Aquarian, does some betting from time to time. And wouldn't you know that the very first EVP he ever got was of a horse on the battlefield.
I'll be bothered, yeah? Do you have that recording?
We actually do. I don't think we sent it over in the packets, but we could do that some other time in the future. I do have that, though. It was in the wheat field at Gettysburg. The interesting story about that is there was another gentleman about 8 feet from me. He picked up an EVP of a rider saying, whoa, and I picked up the horse winning. He didn't get the horse. I didn't get the rider.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Okay. All right. Well, let's look at some. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. So let's look at some of these EVPs, shall we?
Good show.
Okay. Tell me where we're starting.
I'm trying to see which ones you actually got. I know some of the packets may have gotten lost.
There should be one
on there. That is called, Take the Chilly Night.
Take the Chilly Night. Yep, got it.
Okay, if you want to punch that up and play it through, and we'll... This was done in a, this was in a cemetery up in Harpers Ferry. Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, is sort of bordered between Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia. And it's a very famous... old city with a lot of ghosts and a lot of neat stories.
It's built right on the side of a mountain where two rivers
converge. And there's a lot of activity there. And, of course, that's historically famous. That's where John Brown seized the armory and tried to instigate a slavery revolt in the United States. So it's got a lot of neat history to it.
Okay.
So this one's
up
in the cemetery... And you can go ahead and play it. It's pretty apparent what's being said.
Okay, take the chilly note. All right, here we go.
Peace.
Oh, hang on, that's way too loud. We're fighting.
Yeah.
Peace.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that.
Peace.
Wow. Oh, that's quite clear. I'll do that again.
Peace.
Yep, that's certainly there. That's what it certainly says. Wow, good find.
Now, you'll hear tonight, too. We have several EVPs from around the country. So you're liable to hear a variation of
accents
and tones like that. So that's sort of interesting.
Okay, all right.
Okay, now this other one, we'll jump into a real neat one to get it rolling here. This one was done, Dave and Sharon put this on theirs. This was a group that picked this up from a home in Kentucky. It was a private house, and the individual had some stuff going on in the house, and in an investigation, this is what they picked up, and I'm not even going to have to, it's very clear. And if you'll punch up, it says Kentucky.
Kentucky. H. Yep, got it. Right, okay.
All right.
Now let's play it. Well, I hear the whispering. What's the saying?
It's, I love you, and I want you to be with me forever.
Okay.
I love you.
Yep.
I want you to be
forever. Oh, that sounds chills down my spine. That's creepy.
Isn't that what? That's the way it was. I mean, these are... You know, the only thing we do sometimes is try to zone out some of the background noise, insects and things like that. But pretty much, these are as we got them.
Yeah, wow. Hang on, let me play that one again. I love you. I want you to be with me forever. Okay?
Yep.
Here we go.
I love you.
Oh! That's like a horror movie. That's creepy. Oh, wow. What a great find. Good job. Well, okay.
Now,
all right.
Now, this is one of our favorites. It's nothing really complex. It's not real creepy. On your thing, you'll see it just says Daddy. And this is back in Harper's Ferry. Up in the top of the town is the graveyard. They moved it up there because the town's prone to flooding, and so many of the early graves got washed away. Harper's Ferry's a very noisy town in the middle of the night. It's got a confluence of a couple rivers and a lot of traffic, railroads. So anyhow, we're up in the graveyard. This is about 2 o'clock in the morning, and as the traffic rolls back, you're just going to hear a little girl say Daddy. It's very clear. This is a class one EVP.
And this personally is one of my favorites, as I have 3 little girls, one of which is a sleepwalker. So I can only imagine what this poor little girl's spirit is thinking, that she's looking for her daddy and can't find him. You can actually kind of hear the sadness through the tone of her voice.
All right, so here it is.
Daddy.
Oh, yeah, that's nice and clear. Let's do that again.
Daddy.
Gee, I love this EVP stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? It just comes out like
that. That's as clear as you're going to get them. That's actually my wife's favorite.
And for anybody who would think that that's too clear and it's got to be somebody that was with us, again, this is 2 o'clock in the morning. I was actually not on that investigation. It was Jim, his sister, and her oldest son, who I think is going to be 29 soon. So then he was probably about 24 or 25, so no little children involved.
None around.
Wow. Okay. Amazing. You don't have to convince me. I'm a believer. But
now here's one with just an interesting accent. It's nothing particularly fabulous, but it's just Dr. Norman. You're going to hear it sounds like a young boy, and under the key it says Mr. Norman, but I think it says Dr. Norman. On your code it'll say Mr. Norman.
Yep, got it. Okay, so let's run this.
Norman?
I heard the Norman, didn't hear the Mister.
Norman? Norman? Norman?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Mister's very faint.
Norman?
Okay, and what's the story behind this one?
This one was in a house with a private home, some activity going on downstairs, and we were picking up some verification with some of the meters. And we just played that, and that's one of the ones we picked up. One of the children who lived in the home had reported playing with a small boy.
Oh, okay.
A ghost friend or something like that. And I don't know if that was the child or not, but anyhow, that's what we picked up.
Well, it's certainly a child voice. It's a child voice.
Now this is really neat. This is local here in Chambersburg. This home was built around the time of the Civil War, and this is about a year and a half ago. The family has had all kind of activity going on. A large mirror had been thrown off the wall and shattered. They were having pictures actually coming off the wall and reverted. In other words, the picture was reversed inside. So it was like pranky kind of stuff. And then there was somebody, they had a new child, a newborn infant, and something was laying out baby clothes on the crib.
I mean,
there were days when she could feel the presence and just won't even go upstairs. So we went over there, and this is through our initial walk, through just sort of seeing what's going on, if we can pick up. And we're running an overlist at this time, and our instrumentation all locks up. And I'm like, what do you mean the files are filled? I go in there, go to clean it out, and this child's voice is on the thing. He's loud. He's screaming at us, I'm trying for the light. And then after he says, I'm trying for the light, I'll let you take it.
After he says, I'm trying for the light, he says the name Bronwyn. The coincidence between that is my oldest daughter's name is Bronwyn.
Wow.
She was not there. She's 9 years old. There wasn't a young child, a young boy in the house. The owners of the home, their young son was with them. But because of, sometimes I am empathic, so if something is really active and jumping and the energy is really high, I tend to get headaches. This night, I got a headache. So I was down in the kitchen area with the family. They were giving me some ibuprofen for my headache. The boy was standing right next to me, never said a word when this EVP was captured. The only two people in the room in the upstairs bathroom where this was captured was Jim and his nephew, Sean.
And we didn't hear it, but you'll hear us talking. We're trying to run an overlist session, so we're oblivious to this child screaming at us, "I'm trying for the light." It was so loud, we picked it up in two other rooms. In other words, two other investigators with us that evening picked it up on their recorders as well, the very same EVP. So that's, I'm trying for the light.
Okay, so let's run this forward. Here we go. Oh, is that it there? Right there?
Yeah.
And then if you listen after that, you hear him say, "Bronwyn," which is my daughter's name. No one there but the family knew it. There was no little children there that knew it.
Wow. Okay. Here it is. Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's really clear. Let's do that again. Wow. So when she says, "I'm trying for the light," do you get any sense in your work as one of these trapped spirits who can't escape Earth?
What we did in this case, when we heard that, and we picked up the little boy on some other EVPs that evening as well, I got some remote viewers and sensitives that I work with around the country, and we keyed in, they keyed in on that house, and I asked them if they could try to help send the boy along. We went back 2 weeks later. That boy has been gone since that evening. There's other spirits in the house. The place is still real active, but that boy that we picked up that night is no longer there.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I don't have that gift, you know, to sort of be able to try to send them on, but I do know people that have that and that I've worked with, and so that's why I got some people to assist us on that.
Right, okay, all right.
But you can hear he's pretty emphatic about it.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Anyway, no, that's great. All right, okay, so what's next? I love this. Okay.
Now this one, this is neat. This is a sort of a pet interest of mine. Sometimes the spirits are aware of what we're going to do before we do it. This is in Carson City, Nevada, in not too far from the governor's mansion. It's the Bliss Mansion. It's a beautiful 28-room house that was owned by Mr. Bliss, who built all the lumbers to accommodate the mines in Comstock and got very wealthy. I had never been in the house, and one of the local individuals who's sensitive had arranged for us to come in the house. So I'm recording as we go in. The people owned a large German Shepherd, and she didn't know if they had left the dog in the home or if the dog was there. So she calls out the dog's name. As it turned out, he was not there. But what you're going to hear just before she calls out the dog's name, you're going to hear the spirit say, "They're talking the dog," and then you'll hear the woman actually call out for the dog. But before she does that, the spirits know what she's going to do.
And Jim did not know that they had a dog, so it was obviously not him saying this, because he didn't know she was going to call for a dog. He didn't know where there was one in the home.
And this is the one that says, "They're talking the dog."
Yeah, yeah, got it. Let's play it. Here we go.
The dog.
Oh, yeah, now there's that metallic tone that I've heard in other EVPs. Let's do that again.
The dog.
An electronic sound.
Yeah.
Why do some EVPs sound like that?
Again, we're theorizing here that, you know, it's a matter of manipulating power waves or whatever to actually place that. I know there's been a lot of experimentation that's gone on, and they, in other words, transmitting to the human ear silent waves and being able to pick them up on recording devices. So some of that might have to do where they're doing it and what frequency they're doing it from, but I'm not exactly sure.
And sometimes, not often, but sometimes when you process these EVPs through your programs on your computer to clean out and filter out that background noise,
right.
Sometimes the resulting EVP has a bit of a computerized sound to it.
Oh,
now,
I see.
Now, if you play that through one more and just let it run, you'll hear, after you hear that, they're talking the dog, you'll hear the woman actually call out the dog's name so that they're actually addressing what she's going to do before she does it.
All right, so here we go.
The dog. Mama!
Oh, yeah, right. Wow.
See? That sort of really fascinates me, as I talk about that as possibly precognitive. And
sure.
I often, if I'm at conferences, I inquire about that.
Interesting.
So, I don't know, just sort of a neat little side thing.
Yeah.
Here's one. This, again, is in an old private house, and you'll hear, it's under Caleb Loved Me, and you'll hear an old woman. It sounds like an old woman to me, and she's just saying, Caleb loved me. And, of course, Caleb is one of those old names from, you know, turn of the century.
Right, okay, all right, so here we go. Right, got it right there.
Yep.
Yeah, once again. Oh, you play it again, right, yeah, okay. Once again, nice and clear, absolutely,
yeah.
Good one. Yeah.
Now this one's on at Gettysburg on the battlefield. It was where the first day's action occurred. There's this Willoughby Creek. It's on the western side of the battlefield, and it was some of the very first day's action. The Union forces came across Willoughby's Creek and charged up the hill. And when they did so, they met Confederate forces, and there was something like about a dozen color bearers fell. It was very violent fighting. But as I'm just walking in the woods, they're coming up the hill, I'm recording, and this one's basically, he got shot.
He got shot.
And it's pretty much straight up.
All right, we have to go to break, guys. We'll play this reversal when we get back. Don't touch that keyboard, folks. We'll be back right after this.
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances, an underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean, and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio-Superfood. I've taken Bio-Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life. Many of you know that David John Oates' reverse speech has been scoring some huge breakthrough successes lately. The JFK assassination program with Jim Mars and yours truly is being heralded as the best in David's remarkable 33-year career. His recent outing of RNC Chairman Reince Priebus as a political conspirator was confirmed in the mainstream news only a week after his reversals were released. Of course, the amazing successes of David's one-on-one therapeutic practice go virtually unnoticed, and those are often the greatest successes of all. Despite these stunning achievements, reverse speech needs many more analyst practitioners. If you are a psychologist or a therapist, for example, there is no more powerful tool than using reverse speech in your practice. There's a rare opportunity coming up for you, as David has scheduled a new reverse speech training course beginning Sunday, June the 19th, 2016. There will be 12 classes altogether, all held online for 3 hours each, every 2 weeks. If you've been fascinated by reverse speech and would like to become an analyst practitioner for any reason, now is your chance to enroll and prepare to enter the world of the subconscious truth of all those around you. Call 503-568-7077. That's 503-568-7077. Or email backwards@reversespeech.com.
Okay, we're back once again. My guests are two guests talking about EVP, if you haven't been tuning in, David Haney and Jim Werick. Okay, now we just had the one up before the break if he got shot. So let's run that. Here we go. Absolutely. Yep, no problems. Clear as day. Yeah, okay.
So the next one is going to be change jewelry. And the story behind that is private residents. They were having some issues that they wanted us to come and check out. So we went in there, and we were in the one of the daughter's bedroom. She was not a young child. She was 16, 17 at the time. But she was having feelings of being watched and things like that in the bedroom. So it was myself and Jim and then the homeowner and his wife, and we were running an ovalist session. And the voice says, "Please change your jewelry." And
okay.
She was the only jewelry she was wearing at the time was her cross, her for her Catholic faith. And that's, you'll hear her say, "It wants me to take my cross off." And the homeowner, he says, that's not going to happen. You can blow that out right out of your butt."
But this just gives you an idea of the ovalist.
Sorry, say that again.
This gives you an idea of the one of the instruments we use called an ovalist. It will sound very computerized, robotic, because it's a device that's programmed with a certain amount of words, and the spirits manipulate electromagnetic fields, and it's interpreted through this database and comes out as words. Now, the interesting thing about the ovalist that we've had experience with is the ones that we own are not programmed with proper names. So it should not be able to say Dave or Jim. It's just not programmed with them. But yet we've gotten recordings when we're running an ovalist section where it says a proper name.
Interesting.
But this one it's asking her to change her jewelry,
which was a gold cloth.
Okay. All right. So here we go.
What do you want?
Please change jewelry.
Got it. There it is. Right there. Do that again.
Please change jewelry to reveal written with.
Hang on. What's that say after that?
It was actually inaudible.
Inaudible. Okay.
Words.
All right.
this was the original obelisk that we had, and it just spat out the words. Now that we have a newer obelisk, not only does it speak the words, but it also prints them on a screen for you to see exactly what it's saying. This time it was the original one, we didn't have that, so we could not really decipher what the last couple words were saying.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right, okay, so let's play it. What is the Please Change Jury? Let's play that reverse link. Yeah. Not reversal. EVP, sorry. EVP again.
Please change jury.
Clear as day. Absolutely marvelous. Okay, all right, what's the next one?
Okay, so the next one is one that Jim and I got. We did an overnight investigation at a place called the Rolling Hills Asylum. It's in East Bethany, New York, about halfway between Buffalo and Rochester.
Okay.
It had started out originally as it was opened as a poor farm for widows and unmarried women with children and the mentally disabled who had nowhere to go, so they would go here. It later turned into a sanitarium. And we got this when Jim and I were quote-unquote locked in up there about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it says, Jim, I think it's Jim, says, can you tell us your name? And it says, his name pretty clear.
Yeah,
if you listen to it, you'll pick it up.
And this says, this is the one, it's Rolling Hills Satan.
Right, got it. Okay, here we go. Oh, right there, Satan.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, creepy. Wow. Don't listen to Lisa.
I didn't hear that at the time.
Hey, sorry?
So at the time when we picked it up, of course we didn't hear it, or they may have a hole in the wall in the shape of Jim running, but.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, I think I'd be running too.
This is interesting. This is again a private home we're in, checking around. They'd had some activity. On your thing, it'll be not finding you. There's going to be two voices. None of them are us. And it's like one spirit talking to the other. So play this, not finding you.
I don't see that one here.
You don't see that?
No, that might have been one.
Maybe that
through.
Got dropped then.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No.
We've got a plenty. We'll swing on to something else.
Okay.
This is an unusual. Okay, here's at Gettysburg. You know, since we're so close, we're about 30, 40 minutes from Gettysburg. So, of course, we have hundreds of EVPs from Gettysburg. But this is unusual in the sense that, again, we were over at that Willoughby Run where I got the, he got shot. And in
right.
this case, the individual's walking up the hill, and when I was playing it back, you'll hear there'll be like a silence, a brief silence, and then there's like a scream in that, and then it's silent again. So, I had thrown this out to a number of investigators and that, and sort of we come to the thing, we're just wondering if it was like a time warp where that person unknowingly walked in and walked out of it. So this is going to be time warp scream. Do you have that one?
Time warp scream. Got it. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So here it is. Just playing it. Oh, yeah, the scream right there in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Now, in that same thing, the very next one down, it says troop marching. This is very common at Gettysburg. We really have a lot of these where you'll just hear troops marching around the battlefield. If you want to play that one real quick, it says troop marching.
Yep, here we go. Wow, I'll be bothered. Do that again.
Yeah,
wow.
There's another one we have kind of like that that we didn't send you, but it was you hear troops marching just like that, and then you hear a bugle shot, and then you hear a command where it says company halt.
Wow. Wow.
He's gotten lots of those. And you know, of course, the first thing we do when we get ones like that is make sure that there are no reenactments being done at the time or anything like that. We've never come across a time where we've got a troop-involved EVP where they're doing a reenactment. So
wow.
Now, this one is one, it says on your thing, get the hell out, bitch. It actually, it's like, calls him a son of a bitch. And this is on Gettysburg as well. If you want to play that, you'll hear it real clearly.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Get the hell out, bitch.
Get the hell out, bitch.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, you can hear the emotion, too. Huh, I'll be bothered. Yeah, there it is. Totally clear. What do you think when you find one of these EVPs? What goes through your mind?
Well, you do get tuned in to listening to the recordings, and you pick them up right away. Now, the problem is sometimes the background noise may, you know, or it may be very faint. Sometimes it's difficult to bring them up without altering it too much. So you get a lot of EVPs that are really not good to play back because they're not very clear.
Yeah, it's like you know something's there. You can definitely hear something there, but it's way too faint to make out, or it's too much background noise to make out. And if you try to clean it up, basically, then it takes away from the EVP, which you don't want to do anyway. So
now this is again back up in the Harpers Ferry Cemetery. And it's under your thing. It says, Mary, who are you? Let me give you the background real quick. There was a Mary Whitehead, and her gravestone had fallen over. It was on the ground. It looked like it just from natural sources. It wasn't vandalized. And my brother was with us, and several of us worked to get it back upright. And we sort of put it up there. This is my brother now saying, you know, Mary, are you with it? And you'll hear a woman's voice say, who are you? So this says, Mary, who are you?
Okay, here we go.
Mary, we ask that you speak to us.
Oh, yeah, okay. I can hear the who are you. I didn't hear the Mary.
Yeah.
Mary, we ask that you speak to us.
I can hear who you are. Did she say Mary as well? Or
no,
just who are
you? The investigator says Mary because he's speaking to
him. Okay. Right, okay, I got confused.
Mary answers him by asking him, who are you?
Who are you? Right, gotcha. Okay, let's play it again.
Mary, we ask that you speak to us.
And here it is. Wow, that's amazing. Who are you? And that's a direct answer, no cutting of a tape. Is that just how it occurred?
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly how we got it.
Wow.
Now, this one's sort of neat. I guess maybe from the listening, this was in Mansfield Prison. That's the largest freestanding prison structure in the country. It's no longer in use. They built a new prison in back of it. But anyhow, we were downstairs underneath the warden's area, very active area, and there was a spirit down there. And basically, the one guy I was connecting with, he's asking it its age. Now, I'm sitting there with some divining rods to sort of, you know, you get yes or no replies on the divining rods asking the spirit. So you'll hear the person asking their age, and they'll say, like, are you 25? And then you'll hear me saying, no, he's not 25, because the rods are telling me this. And while we're trying to figure out how old he is, you'll hear his voice come in and say, I'm 46. And then you'll later hear us nail it down pretty close to his age.
Okay,
so this
all right.
Is the one that says, I am 46.
Yep, got it. Here.
How old are you?
Give him an answer. Give him a number.
Are you 6?
No, he's not 6.
Are you 18?
No, he's not 18.
Are you 30?
46.
Oh, right there. Wow. Gee whiz.
46.
Wow. This is a direct answer to your question. That's stunning. It's not just a random voice. You've got this direct contextual relationship. Clearly,
and then the neat thing is, as we're going up, you know, like sort of finally the sticks keyed in, and I think we came up with 45. So we were very close.
Yeah,
with the sticks. Well, and then, like I said, we didn't hear that voice when he told us what his age was.
Yeah. Oh. Wow, that's stunning. I'm amazed that you got this direct communication. They're actually answering the same as the Mary reversal. Who are you? It's a direct answer to the question asked. Wow.
What? That is not the one.
Sorry?
Now, let's play this one. I'm going to have to refer, but that is not... Oh, yeah, this is an interesting dialect or stuff. This was... Okay, I know where it is. On your thing, it says, that is not the one.
Got it, yep.
Up in Maine, we were visiting near Bar Harbor in Acadia National Park, and we were back and we were doing some cemeteries in the area where people, some of the local groups told me it was active, and I got this really interesting accent. That is not the one. And then he says something else, but you'll hear a really interesting, you know, accent to it.
Okay, so here we go. Oh, yeah, right. And she says, or says two syllables after that is not the one.
Right, right.
Can't get at what it says, huh? No, can't get it. Okay, all right.
Okay, this one is... on your thing it says Scott picture, but what it is, you'll hear someone asking the spirit to take a picture, and then you'll hear him say no.
A lot of times we run across, we'll go somewhere that's very active, and we'll bring out our equipment, and batteries that we've literally just put in minutes before are completely dead, and then when you walk away to an unactive area, they work again. So we made sure that at this specific investigation, we told them to ask the spirit if you have their permission to take their picture.
That was another one.
Well,
oh, yeah.
So this specific one, someone says, can I take your picture? And it tells them pretty much no.
And oftentimes the camera won't work then either. So
yeah.
This is under Scott picture.
Yep, got it. So here we go. Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, wow. I'll be bothered. Okay, all right, what's next?
Okay, grab one.
Let's see, what else do we have here?
I'm unhappy. I will kill you back. Did we do that one?
No, I don't think we did.
Okay.
We have one that says, I will kill you bastards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I got that up. Let's play it. Okay, here we go.
And that was, we picked that up in the local jail here in Chambersburg that has been shut down since, what, 86,
yeah,
something
see,
like
but
that?
It's the oldest.
But it's the oldest jail as far as being used. It closed down most recently than any other jail.
It predates Eastern Penitentiary in Pennsylvania. Chambersburg has the oldest jail in Pennsylvania. And that's when we were the only group they let in to do an overnight. And then some of the Franklin County Historic Society got upset that they, in other words, sometimes when you're in ghost hunting, local groups can get upset like you're doing something anti-religious, you know. And
right.
To get back, you know, the way things go like that.
But so we got this one, and if I'm not mistaken, this is near a cell in the old cell block. Where there was a famous murder of an inmate by another inmate.
All right, so we'll kill you bastards, right?
Yep.
Okay, so here we go. Oh, right there, very faint. I will kill you bastards. Let's do it again. Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Nice and clear. Gee whiz.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to make sure, I mean, we've got hundreds of them, and we wanted to make sure that we sent you the most clear ones so they'd be easy to decipher.
Well, you've done a great job. This is a very, very excellent presentation. Thank you.
The next one we want you to hear is, again, we got this,
That's George's house, right?
What's that?
1153
Yeah.
Again, the same house where we obtained the ovalis, take off your jewelry. We picked this one up on an audio digital recorder, and it's one spirit asking about other spirits. I guess he is curious why these other spirits won't leave, and so he says, why won't they die?
Okay, got it. Yep. Here we go.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to feed it straight into the sound card.
Yeah, I mean, in essence, what you're doing, you're just cutting out the middleman. So, I mean, it's going straight in, and then we can take it straight back out.
Gee, that sounds like someone in the room.
Yeah, God, and it says, dear God, or please God, why won't they die?
Okay, we'll run it again. Oh, I missed it. Please God, sorry. Okay, here we go. Gee, we're staggering stuff. My gosh, I'll run it again. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I gotta tell you, you know, we've been doing this for just about 15 years. We've gotten so many that, you know, you get them and you're like, okay, that's one. Okay, there's another one. But when you get ones like these that come out so clear that you really don't have to filter any background noise or basically touch them at all, that really gets the blood pumping.
What do the skeptics say about this?
Let's see. Skeptics say everything from it's somebody in the room, I'd have to be there and see it.
We're picking up radio waves.
Yeah, we're picking up a rogue radio transmission. Then someone on some radio station somewhere near us is saying, please God, why won't they die?
Right. Yeah, well.
Now this is another one on Gettysburg, just to show you, where a bugle plays. And under your thing, it's bugle, and then we think it said, I'm dead. But you'll hear a bugle very clearly in this recording. And this is, again, maybe like probably 8 o'clock at night. We're the only ones on the field. Nobody's playing a horn, I'll guarantee you. So this is bugle. I'm dead.
Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, I can hear the bugle. I think I heard I'm dead. Oh, yeah, there it is, right at the end. Huh, okay, all right, good.
So it doesn't have to be just voices, you know? There's a lot of stuff in there.
We've picked up gunshots. We've picked up any number of things. The next one we want you to hear has a great story to it, and it says Ovalis Sold to White. That was picked up. Jim had lent our Ovalis to some friends of his that were going to be over near Antietam Battlefield in Maryland. And
that was the bloodiest thing.
Yeah, which was the bloodiest single day of the Civil War.
So this is a sold white man?
Yes, and what happened was, if you're driving right through the heart of, that is Antietam City, right?
Sharpsburg.
Right through Sharpsburg, which is the city that borders the Antietam Battlefield, on the corner of this, there's a gas station on a corner and off the main street. And out in front is this, completely oblivious to most people, it's just a big cement block. But if you stop and look at it, there's a small placard attached to it. And when you read that placard, you find out that is the last known...
There's three
slave blocks. Basically, the auctioneer would stand on that block and sell slaves off.
This would be 1850s, 1860s. They're in Sharpsburg.
And so they happened to be standing near that, and the Ovalist started talking to them, and it spit out, sold to mostly white men.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Says that to you.
To most white men.
What, were you hearing this as it happened?
Actually, this was our newer unit where it actually has a screen and the words come across the screen.
So the girl who was using it, as it was saying the words, she would repeat it because she was reading it on the screen.
I'll be bothered. Okay, all right, here we go.
Says that to you.
To most
What did it say? It said something about white men.
Sell to most white men.
I'll be bothered. Interesting.
Now, again, for anybody who thinks that they're making this up, they had never been there. They had no idea what that block was until they called and spoke to Jim after they got this.
Right,
so
okay.
What are the odds that you pick up a rogue radio wave saying sold to mostly white men through this machine at one of the last three slave blocks in the country?
Yep. All right. Listen, guys, we're out of time, but I'm going to have you back. We'll be in email contact, okay? And because I want to hear more of these amazing human beings, okay?
So, well, it was fun, Dave. I appreciate you calling us, and I'm glad you enjoyed them.
No worries, mate. Thanks for your time. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, and we'll have some new ones for you soon. We have an investigation coming up where we're going to be in Moundsville Prison in West Virginia come November.
All right. No worries. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable, and the results are priceless. That's GoHealthyNext.com.